Romans chapter 8, we want to begin reading tonight at verse 1. The Lord will help us. We want to read through verse 17 and just give you what the Lord's laid on our heart tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Now listen to this, and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. I want to preach for just a little while, if the Lord will be my help, on power for holy living. Power for holy living. I want to say, God said to be ye holy, for I am holy. So we can live holy lives. God wouldn't have told you to be holy if you couldn't live holy. But as we look at this, we look at chapter 8, we can see God moving in the power thereof. And now as we come out of chapter 7, we see chapter 7 is a dark place in the Word of God. It's like a dark chamber where Paul's at, and he's struggling to try to get out of that chamber. And now that chamber is the flesh and the sin thereof. It's that so easily besets us and keeps us from having a close relationship with the Holy God. But we can see as we come out of that dark chamber and we come into the marvelous light, we can see how God's got help for us. And I want to say tonight in the authority of the Word of God that God's got help for His people. He always has, and Brother Dean, He always will have to have help for His people. And if we'll just listen and be receptive, He's willing to pass it out quite liberally. If we'll just be partakers and just let us this old fleshly man just absorb the things of God and not rebel against it and not push it away and just receive what God's got for us, He'll help us to be what He wants us to be. Now I'm looking in a few weeks for a Holy Ghost meeting, but I'm telling you tonight, I'm not going to want to wait for a few weeks. I'm looking for a Holy Ghost meeting right here tonight. I'm looking for the Lord to begin to deal with our hearts and give us that we need. And now Paul's writing here to the Romans, and he's giving them this that they need to be overcomers. Now he says, I'm overcome with the flesh. He said, that I would I do not, and that I would not that I do. He said, I'm caught in a prostrate betwixt two, and I can't figure out just exactly how to come out from under it. Then he says, that's the thinking. And he said, but through Christ Jesus, my Lord, he said, there's some help for a child of God. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 5, notice where Paul comes to. Paul comes to a realization in chapter 7 in verse 5. He said, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit. Now listen to this, fruit unto death. He said, they was fruit, but our fruit was just killing us. I'm afraid the world we live in today, the fruit that we're producing is killing us. We look all around it and we see the world and the fruit that they're producing, amen, dragging our youngins and our families down into a horrible pit. Amen. I can see what Paul was talking about. He said the fruit that we have, he said it's killing us. It's death. It's enmity against God. He said, but now we are delivered from the law. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. He said, we're not hooked up with the law. We're not trying to satisfy in the flesh. We're not trying to satisfy in this man that we are. But he said, we've got hooked up with a new spirit. We've got hooked up in newness of life. And it's beginning to radiate from us. And it's beginning to help us and guide us in the way that we need to go. Now that spirit he's talking about is that spirit that we have when we're released from the law. In verse 4 of Romans 7, he says this. He says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Amen. We have something. We've been given something far better than the law. We've been given a Savior and a Redeemer in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hey, he's not some cold dead God sitting somewhere up our Jake. He's our God, our Savior this evening. He's ours. He belongs to us, Brother Kevin. He's ours for the thinking. He's ours for the asking. Amen. Glory be to God. All we got to do is receive Him. He said that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit. Now here it is, fruit unto God. He said we're supposed to be fruit bearers. He said we've been fruit unto death, but praise God, he said now we're going to be fruit unto life. So we come out of this dark, dismal place. We come out of this dark chamber of chapter 7, and then we come into the marvelous light of chapter 8. Amen. You ought to read chapter 8 and study it, meditate upon it. Hey, so much good stuff in here to encourage your heart. But if you in verse 13, he's talking about that old man. He said, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. He said, death is on your doorstep if you're living after the flesh. If you're trying to do right and be good within yourself, you're going to live defeated all your life, and you're going to die empty, and you're going to go to hell lost without God. He said, well, preacher, you mean I'm not supposed to try to be a good person? I'm not saying that. We're supposed to try to be a good person, but not within ourselves. We're supposed to try to be a good person through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We use Him as our example. Now listen to what he says. He said, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. He said, so he said, if you live after the flesh, he said, you're going to die. He said, but if you through the Spirit, not through yourself, but through that indwelling Spirit that lives in us after we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's after salvation, after we receive Him unto ourselves, that we can begin to live and do right. Amen? You can't do right within yourself. You can't do right within yourself before you receive Jesus. You have no power. He said, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now he's talking about having this life with no condemnation. You say, well, preacher, I thought we was all under condemnation because we've all sinned. Yeah, but we've had our sins covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We're not under that sin, that bondage of sin no more, because we've come out of it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for that? That we're not under condemnation. We've come out of condemnation. In verse 1 it says, therefore is there now no condemnation. Why? Because you become a child of God. Now, Paul says, hey, listen, I come out of that dark place. He said, I've fought and I've warred with the, flesh. But he said, I've come to a realization within myself that it's not me that's going to overcome the flesh. It's Christ in me that's going to overcome the flesh. It's Christ in me that's going to help me to do right. Church, it's Christ in us that's going to help us to live a life that's pleasing to a holy God. You say, well, how can we do it? Because we don't have no condemnation. Amen? There is no condemnation in a child of God. Why? Because the Lord's already paid that price. He's already overcome that. Condemnation. Because He's took care, Brother Jeff, of our past sins. Amen? He took care of our past sins on the cross of Calvary. Now, the devil may bring them up all the time, but our sins, if you've been born again, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, to forgive you your sins, come into your life, and made Him your Lord, then those sins are gone, man. They've been cast to sea of forgiveness, never be remembered no more. Only one to try to bring them up is the devil. Amen? That's right. Those past sins, there's no condemnation in the eyes of God. And by the way, He's the one that matters. Amen. He's the one that matters. He said those sins are gone. Amen. He said, you've gave up those past sins. He said that possession of sin, that sinful nature, He said it's gone too. Hello? He said that sinful nature, it don't belong to you no more. You become a child of God. You belong wholly to Him. He said so you've had to give up that sin and that sinful nature. You've turned it over to God. And through giving up the past sins and that sinful nature, and then you've come into the possibility of overcoming sin. Past, present, and future. Amen. Your sins have been forgiven. And He says, now you've got peace with God. Have you got peace with God tonight? Have you know that your sins have been forgiven? Amen. Praise God. If there's anything in my life that's hindering me, keeping me from having peace with God, I'd get it right tonight. I wouldn't wait. I'd run to the, I wouldn't walk. I'd run to an altar. Amen. That burden of sin can be rolled away. That's what happened. You can ask anybody that's truly been born again, praise God. When they went down, they went down with a load and they come up and felt light as a feather. Amen. The Lord takes that when the Holy Ghost of God convicts your heart, shows you just an old sinner in need of a Savior, and you come and fall before Him, and you cry out with anguish in your heart, and with a broken, contrite heart, and you say, Lord, forgive me an old sinner. You don't think He hears that? He does. It goes straight into the throne of grace. And Jesus said, I plead the blood for old Massey. Praise God. Amen. Bought Him with a price. Praise God. And He's calling on me. Amen. Praise God. And the job's done. It's finished. It's complete. Why? Because that sin's been forgiven. That guilt's no longer resting upon me. It's no better part. Because Jesus' atoning blood for sin has already took care of that. Amen. Took care of that. Care of that sin as well as our sins. Amen. Whoopee. Took care of that sin that we had done. Not only that sin, but the sins that we will commit. Now we beat ourselves up over it. A lot of times we mess up, we fail, we sin comes short daily. But praise God, Jesus died for sins past, present, and future. He's already taken care of them. Died for them all. That burden to be put behind us forever and we could just live and praise Him. Glory be to God. Amen. I'll never get this preached tonight. Glory to God, there's so much here. I ain't even got to started yet. Praise the Lord, I ain't even got through condemnation. I've still got 16 verses to preach. Amen, praise the Lord. But He said that sin's forgiven, that guilt's no longer upon you. And He said that sin nature that you had, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost of God's there and He's there to convict you of those sins. He's there to take it, show you the right way. To lead you in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. He says, there is therefore now, no condemnation. God says, I don't condemn you for anything that you've ever done, past, present, or future. You say, well, preacher, how can I get by with that? Because I love Jesus. Because I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart, and I'm trying my best to do right for Him. Did you hear me? Brother Jeff, I ain't trying to do right for my wife. I ain't trying to do right for Brother Bill. I ain't trying to do right for this church. I'm trying to do right because of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because I'm trying to please Him, I should be trying to be pleasing to Brother Bill and to you and to this church and to my wife. Amen? When I try with the Lord Jesus Christ as my ever-present helper, there's no condemnation in me. I'm not condemned with the rest of this world. Amen? That I don't allow that sinful nature to express itself anymore. Amen? That's what that means. You don't allow that. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, that we don't act out on our sinfulness. Amen? We hold ourselves in check because the Holy Ghost of God checks us up. Amen? It's kind of like that old mule that's a plowing. An old mule's plowed faithfully all day long, and she begins to get tired and maybe getting a little bit weary and thinking about that corn back at the barn. And she starts to weave a little bit, and you got to take them check lines, and you got to draw her up just a little jee-haw, amen, just to keep her in a row. That's what God does for us, because He loves us, and we're committed to Him. He gives us a little jee-haw, and we say, thank you, Lord, for that you give us. Thank you for a good, a godly mom and daddy. Thank you for a man of God and a tell me right. Show me the right way. Amen. Just a little bit of guidance. That's what He does. That's the Lord. Amen. He does it for us. And Paul says, because He does that, there's no condemnation. Amen. He said there's no condemnation. Now He says there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to who? The ones that love the Lord. The ones that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Now look at this, but after the Spirit. Now this is active participation here. Amen? Active to participation. We're not walking after the flesh, but we're seeking to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. See, that's what, it hurts me when people say, well, you know, preacher, I don't need to go to church to be saved. But you know what? You know what they're going to be? They're going to be a little bitty baby Christian all their life. And they're going to walk and every little thing they're going to stumble over. Because they don't know the truth. They don't know what God's got for us. But man, praise the Lord, when you get in a good Bible-believing church, a good Bible-preaching church, a good Bible-teaching church, praise God, you get those fundamentals to be a child of God that'll help you to grow spiritually. So you can grow into a spiritual giant for God. Amen. That's what we all ought to be desiring to be, praise God, is a spiritual giant for Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about active participation. We got a young lady here tonight. Bless your heart. I'm glad you're able to hear me here. She's been praying. We've been helping her pray because she couldn't come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays because of the way she had to work. Amen. But we got, so I told her we'll pray about it. She told me tonight, said he worked it out with people at work. She didn't get the other job, but she got the errors that she could be off on Sundays and Wednesday nights. Praise the Lord. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying she wants active participation. Praise the Lord. In the things of God. That'll grow you. Jake, that's what gets you close to the Lord. That's what keeps you where you need to be. You get out there by yourself in a world to defeat you. But praise God, you get where people love you and God loves you and you get fed. Praise God, you can grow for the glory of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's spiritual growth. That's that active participation that we all need in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? Because we all need, the Bible says we do. In verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And now this being spiritually led, this is a passive submission. Amen. This is just to say, hey, look, I'm gonna give up my Wednesday nights. I'm gonna dedicate Sunday to the Lord because I want to be active, participating in what He's got for me. That's being led by the Spirit, amen. Not because you have to be here, but because you have a desire to be in the house of God. Amen. God will bless you, God will feed you, God will grow you. Praise God when you got an attitude like that. Amen. We say we want revival. If you want revival, you just begin to be an active participant in the things of God. And you see what'll happen. And he'll stir you. He'll turn you every which way but loose. Amen. He'll encourage your heart. He'll uplift you. When you come into passive submission, led by the Spirit. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? So if you're being led by the Spirit, that's how you know you're His. You got that spiritual desire. You got that spiritual discernment. You got that spiritual leadership in your life. Shows you what's right and what's wrong. Amen? Makes it obvious to you so that you can see it. Praise the Lord. Now look what He says. Back over to verse 2. He said, for in the law of the Spirit. Now He's not talking about the Mosaic law here. Now let's get this straight. For a long time I read that and I thought He was talking about Moses' law. Amen? Because every time we read the law, about law, we think about Moses' law. But here Paul is going, hey, he's superseding the Mosaic law right here. Are you with me? Let me show you something. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life. Now, he's talking about a power and an influence is what this law is representing. A power and an influence of the Spirit life, not the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses could only bring death because it had no power to save. But this power that he's talking about, this law that he's talking about, are you hearing me tonight? It's a law that comes from God. It's a law that comes through the Spirit. It's a law that uplifts. It's a law that lifts you out. It's a law that'll give you life ever after. I mean, an exciting life full of praise and glory for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need all that we can get. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of, now listen, from the law of sin and death. Now Paul said there was an old tyrant that was after me, all the, Brother Bill was talking about earlier, that shadow was always behind that old tyrant sin. Amen, was always right there behind me. And he was always, and that old tyrant sin, you know what he's always been wanting to do? You know what he wants to do? He wants to give you a wage. Old tyrant sin. Amen? That old wicked tyrant sin, he's always wanting to give you a wage. You're working and you're doing sinful things. Praise God, it's there. The tyrant sin is wanting to give you that wage, and that wage he gives is death. Amen? That's all he has. That's all he has to pice out. That tyrant sin has death, anguish, turmoil, and death forever lasting. Amen? But he says it's not here. He said this is not what he wants to give you. But he said he wants to give you the presence of the power in the Spirit. Amen? That's what he says. He said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak. Now this is the Mosaic law. This is the law of Moses that he was given up on Mount Sinai. Amen? He said what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now I want to say that the law itself was not weak. Amen? Anything God gives, brother, it ain't weak. But the reason that we couldn't live up to the law is because the flesh was weak. Amen? And because the flesh could not resist the temptations that God would keep us from sin. The flesh can't do that. He said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. He said, hey, the Son of God came in the likeness of sinful men. Amen. He came as a man, just like me and you. He was 100% man, Brother Bill, just like you. But He was 100% God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And He came as a sinless man. Yes, the only sinless man that there's ever been was Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
The only one that was ever without sin. Amen. And He came and became sin for me and you. When we couldn't feel the law because of sin, because of the temptations on our flesh, Jesus came and He fulfilled it for us. Amen. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He said He condemned sin in the flesh, in our flesh, in every man's flesh. Amen? He condemned it. He said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Amen? He said you could not fulfill the law in yourself. You could not attain to the righteousness or the rightness, the right standing in the law. But he said, because what Christ done on Calvary, that he came for sinful men and gave himself for sin. Whew, what a Savior. Amen. He gave himself for our sins. And said, because he did that, because God sent him to do that, amen, that the righteous of law might be fulfilled in us, that we might fulfill the law, the righteousness of the law could be fulfilled in us, even though we're not able to attain to that righteousness. But we can through him. Listen to what he says. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now right here, if there's ever been the doctrine of justification, it's right here. Amen. The doctrine of justification. Amen. We couldn't do it within ourselves, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made right in the eyes of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we couldn't, he could. He said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now notice what he's talking about. He said they mind the things of the flesh. In other words, that the mind is governed by. Think about that a second. The mind is governed by. If we would stop tonight for just a moment and think about what we think on, what we meditate on, is the mind governed by the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit? What about your mind tonight? What do we think on? What's primarily in our thoughts? As we go through today and as we work, you say, well, preacher, we got to concentrate on jobs. We can't think about Jesus. Hogwash. I tell you what, you get to thinking, meditating on Jesus, and he'll do your job for you. Praise the Lord. How do you know? Because he does mine about half the time. Glory be to God. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd been fired a long time ago. Glory be. Amen. Praise the Lord. I get out there by myself sometimes, get over in glory world. Amen. I get talking to myself, and I get talking to Jesus. People think I'm crazy. Amen. Get the hallelujah and having a good time in the Lord. Amen. But when you begin, but who do we think about? What's your primary? Where are your primary thoughts? Who governs your mind? Well, that's a big question, ain't it? That's why I'm saying it's important that we leave the TV off and we spend some time and focus on the Lord. And you know what it'd do? It'd also help you focus on your family. Praise God. Amen. Some of us men, it does good. Amen. We watch too much news anyway. We watch much news, man. We tell you what's happening all over the world. Amen. What is it with us men in news? I mean, we want to watch it on every channel. Why don't you change channels? Okay. So I flip it over to another news channel. See what's on that. Amen. We want to know what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on. Jesus is in heaven and everything's fine up there. Glory be to God. Amen. He is good. Praise the Lord. But he said, if your mind's settled on him, if your mind's governed on spiritual things, he said, praise God, then it's the Spirit of God that's leading you. He said, for the carnally minded is death. For to be carnally minded is death. Uh-oh. But to be spiritually minded is life, and get this, and peace. See, when you start thinking on spiritual things, when spiritual things take over your mind and start governing you, not only do you get life, but he said you get the peace that goes with it. I'll take peace and life and peace every day. Praise the Lord. He said, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. That's that fleshly, worldly mind. Amen. It's enmity against God. In other words, it's not the giving him that reverence and that respect that he's due when we're thinking on everything but him. He said, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be that carnal mind. So then we that are in the flesh, did you get that? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're in the flesh and you think about fleshly things, and all you'd want to do is fleshly things, and nothing spiritual ever crossed your mind, you never have no desire to do anything spiritual, anything religious, praise the Lord, then something's wrong. Amen? You can't be pleasing to God. But now listen to what he says. But ye are not in the flesh. You're not consumed by flesh. We're not in the flesh. He said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That means the Holy Ghost of God is living in you. And you say, well, preacher, how will I know if the Holy Ghost of God's living in me? If something big as the Holy Ghost of God moves in, takes up abode in you, and you don't recognize it, then he's probably not there. Amen? Amen? You'll know that he's there if the Holy Spirit of God is in you. You can't miss him. Because he's directing you. He's telling you what's wrong. He's telling you things that's right. He's keeping you on the straight and narrow. Now, if you got somebody that's in there that's telling you, well, it's okay, go ahead and do this, this time be okay. That, newsflash, that ain't the Spirit of God. That's some other spirit. Probably the one of this world, which is the devil and Satan, old slewfoot and a deceiver. Amen? He said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be it, Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man, now listen to this, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, then you don't belong to the Lord. Plain and simple. Amen? If you don't have that Spirit of God in us, if we don't have the Spirit of God within us that's guiding us and leading us, and you say, well, preacher, you mean that I don't ever mess up? I'm not saying that. I'm saying you do mess up, but the Spirit of God's there to show you when you mess up. And you can say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I've done it again. Lord, please forgive me. Help me not to go this route. Help me to, you know, Lord, help me to be chased. Help me to be on the guard so that this don't ever happen again. Right? He said, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, did you hear that? If Christ is in you, that old fleshly man, he said, he's dead. Remember, he says you got to mortify him. You got to put him to death. See, but if the Spirit of, but if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, he said the Holy Spirit of God, Brother Jeff, he's our agent. Amen. He said, hey, you seen them big Hollywood movie stars? You know, all them big Hollywood movie stars, they got an agent that represents them. They go up and they sit in, and they don't do nothing, man, without that agent saying that it's okay because he's getting a cut. That's why he does it, because he's getting a cut of everything that happens. Well, see, the Holy Spirit of God's like our Hollywood agent, except he's on our side. See, that Hollywood agent, he's just on his side. I mean, he don't really care nothing about those people that he's representing, but he's doing it for the money, and he's got to make them look good for him to get a payday. But the Holy Spirit, glory be to God, the Holy Spirit of God, he's not like that. Now just stay with me a minute. The Holy Spirit of God, he's our agent before God. And he wants to make us look good so that we look good in the eyes of God, and he don't want no recognition for it. Boy, our agent, it don't cost you a dime. That's the good thing about the agent of the Holy Ghost. It don't cost you a dime for that. It's free. Amen. All you got to do is just let him guide you. All you got to do is listen to him. Now listen, they can't get them Hollywood agents, they can't hook you up and get you in the places that you need to be if you don't listen. Now, some of them that get doped up and drugged up and boozed up, and they quit, they fire their agent, and the next thing you know, they're like, oh, watch his face over there, and they're making infomercials, amen, somewhere for chump change. Amen? But if we've got the Holy Ghost as our agent and he's directing us, he's showing us where we need to go, what we need to do, that'll represent us to God the Father. That'll make us look good to him so that when we put on a good show for the Lord. I mean, we live a life. Now, it's not just a show. It's a life in a lifestyle, in a mannerism that's pleasing to a holy God. And he's our agent to help us do that. Paul says, man, we've got some good things going here. He said, we come out of that dark chamber and we go into this marvelous light. Now hurry, I'm trying to get done. He said, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life is life. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But now listen to this. He said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, now listen to this, also quicken your mortal bodies. So he said he's going to make your mortal body alive. Because see, we're dead and this old body, it's just dead in trespasses and sins. But he'll be, but through the Holy Spirit of God, because of we believe, because the Lord, God the Father and Lord God the Holy Spirit rose up Christ from the dead. Amen. We're risen too in the newness of life. And because we've been made alive in Him, He's redirecting us and refocusing us in the right path for His glory. He's make us alive. He said, your mortal bodies. Now get this. I didn't notice this a while back. But Brother Bill, he's not talking about that immortal body we get when we go to heaven. He said that he makes us alive, glory be to God, in this mortal body. This body of flesh and bone, this body that when you cut, you bleed. But he said, through the Holy Ghost of God, through the Lord, through God Almighty and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, he said he makes us alive in this mortal body. He said we have newness of life. We're not no longer dead in our sins. But he said we rise above to a higher plane. We come in Jesus Christ above our sins. We come out from under that load of sin and we become children of the cross. Doing right and longing to do right because we want to please God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to please Him because He loved us enough to give Himself for us. He said, also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What does He want to do? He said, He wants to quicken us, make us alive, but with the Spirit of God that He sent. He said, hey, listen, I've got to go away. That's what Jesus said when He was here. But He said, if I go away, He said, I'm going to send you another Comforter. He said, I'm going to send you one just like me, but He's not going to be in the flesh. He's going to be with you everywhere you go all the time. Amen. And He's going to give you direction everywhere you go all the time. Never going to leave you nor forsake you. He said, hey, listen. He said, what Paul says, what we've got here, youngins, is something that's far supersedes that dark chamber that he come out of in chapter 7. He said, I was dealing with flesh and the flesh was getting the best of me. But he said, thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, my Lord, amen. He said, I come out from under that old drudgery of death. He said, I come out from under that old drudgery of sin. He said, I become that new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm lifted up to a higher plane and a loftier height. Amen. I become a child of the King. Praise the Lord. He said, in verse 15, he said, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. He says, Father, Father. Amen. Glory be to God. He said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He said, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, what does He mean, suffer with Him? Suffer just like Christ did. Amen. Suffer to not become sin. To not let sin over. You know, they would have loved them old Pharisees and scribes. They'd like to see the Lord slip up. And they had some educated, high-minded men had done their best to try to get the Lord to slip up. Try to get Him to mess up. One, I had a fellow the other day. I was talking about Him and I was talking about the Lord, how He was perfect and righteous and He never sinned. He said, oh yeah, preacher, He did. He sinned. I said, when? He said, well, He sinned over there in the temple when He made a rope of skirt and drove them out of there. I said, no, brother. I said, He never sinned. He was just cleaning house for the Father. Amen. Amen. They were in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. And he said, you've made my Father's house a den of thieves. Praise the Lord. He made up a scourge and he drove them out of there. He said, get you out of here, bunch of devils. Amen. Hey, listen, it's not wrong to contend against the devil. And we do that by just doing right. It's never wrong to do right. And the Bible says here that we have the power in the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God. We have the power from God to do right if we'll just do right. Paul said, we come out of a dark place. But he said, boy, he said, there's a lovely place of light that we've come into. When we realize that we can't do it and this old body lets us down because we're just old sinful creatures. But he said, we have a power that's far greater than this man that we are. And he said, that's the power of that man that's in us now. Amen. That new man led by that new spirit, that newness of the Spirit, that newness of the Holy Spirit of God in us.